Getting into God's Word here this morning. Last week in my introduction to the book of Proverbs, I mentioned that our culture's emphasis on education and knowledge. And again, we live in the information age. You can find out most anything at the click of a button. There was an individual who wanted to teach their elderly parent about the internet. And mom was just really nervous about this, and so they said, "Come on, mom, you can do this. It's 2019. You can get up to speed here. I'll show you how to do it. So let's just sit down at the computer." So they sit down at the computer and say, "Now," and mom's just really nervous. You know, "Oh, I don't know. I'm just afraid I'm going to do something wrong and hit the, I don't know." Well, so anyway, she says, "Okay, well, here's the internet." And she's never used the internet before. And so, and then what you do, this is called Google. And Google is your friend. So it has a little bar at the top here. And you can type in any question you want. And you'll get an answer. And so mom was really reluctant. And so she said, "Go ahead, mom, you can do this." And so she types in very carefully, "How is Gertrude doing this morning?" Well, she may have gotten an answer, I don't know. But the point there being that there's a lot of knowledge out there. However, as you probably already know, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. We want to talk about the difference here today. Knowledge is the content of truth. Wisdom tends to be the application of truth, or the ability to put that which one knows to work for one's benefit. Wisdom. Today, we study the wisdom of God's Word, or God's Word on wisdom. So here's your take-home thought right out of the gate this morning, and that is, cherish the wisdom of God's life-transforming Word. God's Word is wisdom. We find God's wisdom in His Word. Think about that. Think about the fact that when you read the Bible, you are reading the very words of God. You are reading what God wants for you. You are reading His wisdom. You think of the wisdom of Almighty God, and you are reading that for yourself. He has put it in print. John MacArthur says, God's Word are His thoughts frozen in print. Isn't that cool? Here you have the very words of the living God, the wisdom of God, right before you. And so this statement here asserts that the Word of God is life-transforming. It is through the Word of God that you and I even know the gospel. And so wisdom, as we look at the book of Proverbs, is the word wisdom is found 47 times in the book of Proverbs. 47. 31 chapters in Proverbs. 47 times the word wisdom is found. The word wise is found 64 times. Wisely 2 times. Wiser 2 times. And wisest 1 time. So in the book of Proverbs, you have wisdom, or a form of the word wisdom, 116 times in 31 chapters. Proverbs is truly a book of wisdom. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, he points this out right from the start. Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Remember we talked about last week, Solomon, wisest man that ever lived. He kind of had to work at getting his act together in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he said this is the whole conclusion of man, to bring God glory and obey His commandments. And he says, okay, here's how you do it. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to grow in this wisdom. Let the wise hear, verse 5, and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Did you see that in verse 2? Proverbs is a book written to know wisdom. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that ought to, like, wow, we are in for a good time as we go through a study in the book of Proverbs. Verse 7 indicates that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But if you look at chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Instruct a wise man, he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So again, Proverbs, truly a book of wisdom, in particular, the wisdom of God. Now the wisdom that God desires you to possess begins with fearing Him. It says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And anytime you see fear of the Lord in the Old Testament, by and large, it's referring to the issue of salvation. Because when you fear the Lord, you realize who He is. You understand, oh my, I am subject to one who is greater than I. And apart from salvation, because we realize, and Jeremy mentioned this just a little bit earlier, we are wicked. In and of ourselves, we fall short of the glory of God. Think about that. You have an almighty holy God. How do we think we can stand before Him? You can't, apart from Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross in your place. You recognize you're a sinner and you repent. You turn from that sinfulness and you say, oh God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And you recognize that Savior is Jesus Christ. Amen? There may be someone here today, you have not understood that. But I want you to know that's why Jesus had to come. That's why He chose to come and to die in your place so that you could have eternal life. That is the beginning of wisdom. Now, after Jesus had preached and talked to people in John chapter 6, it says, many of them left Him. And He said to His 12 disciples, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. His word is life. That's what we want to talk about here today. The wisdom of God's word. It starts with fearing Him. If you're here this morning, you say, I don't know what to do in my life. I'm so confused and I'm searching and I don't know what to do. Here is the starting point, is to surrender to Him in salvation, because He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to help you. And it starts with the fear of the Lord, and coming to Him in salvation. Now, I could take a lot of time. Many of you have done that, right? Many of you have trusted Christ. And you know that salvation. But I just want to say that's the starting place. But let's build on that as you are a child of God. And I could take a lot of time sorting through the book of Proverbs and to say, well, here's God's word speaks to the wisdom of this and to the wisdom of that. We go all through the book of Proverbs 116 times talking about wisdom. I thought, and we're going to do some of that, because we're going to study this fairly topically as we go, because the wisdom of God speaks to the issue of communication. It speaks to the issue of relationships, friendships. It speaks to the issue of the family. We're going to talk about all that. But I thought, in talking about the wisdom of God's word, I thought it good to look at a specific passage out of Proverbs. So turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 20 to 23. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to pretty much camp out here this morning. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. I'm going to point out four features of heeding the wisdom of God. And I chose the word heeding purposefully, because God desires that you not merely hear His word only, but that you do it, to heed it. The word, His word is written so as to be life transforming, so that it makes a difference in your life. And so here's the first feature, and that is God's appeal. He has an appeal here in verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. His appeal to you is to be attentive to his word. It goes on, it says, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. The phrase there, incline your ear to my sayings, has the idea of bending your ear toward his word. It has the idea of spreading out your ear. It'd be like saying, I can't hear you. You know, you've seen kids do that, you know, stretch your ears out, you know, and don't do that, you're going to have big ears if you do that, you know. Well, God wants you to bend your ear toward his word. He wants you to spread them out so that you hear what he has for you. Years ago, the first hearing aids was like a little thing that fit in the ear, and then it went out like a megaphone. And, you know, you know, it's like, what are you saying? And, you know, you want to hear what they're saying. So you bend that toward. I've hunted enough. And I've watched deer. You know, you're out in the. You'd be so quiet. And when I was taught, make sure you already have your arrow knock on the string, because man, if you have to reset that little. The deer look up, man. Their ears are going like this, you know, like, what is it? And they're going in all directions because they can hear that. That's what God wants you to do with his word. He wants you to listen, be attentive to what he has here. Turn your ears toward him. Yesterday we were at Billy Thomas, is one of our seniors' 90th birthday celebration yesterday. It was a blast. I mean, she's just a sweet lady. Sits right down here in early service, just sweet as can be. We were at her celebration. We were sitting with a group of folks, a few other couples around one of the tables, and so the guys and I were talking, and I mentioned my wife a few times, like. Yeah, blah, 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 Teresa, blah, 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 Teresa, blah, 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 blah. And they're going, you know, and they're laughing. And we're going on about this, and Teresa's like, now, wait a minute, guys. I've heard my name a few times. What are you talking about? Her ears were, you know, doing this. You know, she's trying to, and I don't know how the ladies do it. They multitask, you know, but she was listening. She had her radar going, you know, what was going on? And we, hey, it's all good. You know, it's all good. We're talking about my colored blindness and how she helps me pick out my clothes and all that, you know. But anyway, my point is that she was attentive to what was going on. That's the way you need to be about the Word of God. That's what it means here, to incline your ear to my saying. Bend your ears toward this. But notice, the first part of the verse says, my son, be attentive to my words. That means to prick up your ears. It's kind of the same thought. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it has the idea of hearkening to, which has the idea of obeying. When you look at obedience in the Scripture, it upon occasion can literally be interpreted, hearken to the door. What does that make you think of? I'll get it! Right? You hear? I'll get it! And the kids run to the door. When I was a kid, we had landlines. And you know, that's the phone that hangs on the wall that has a long cord that tethers, you know, and you want to talk, you got to go. You were just talking about that the other day. You had to go around the corner and close the door. So anyway, we had the landline. But when the phone rang, you know, ring, it's like, I'll get it, man. The kids, we had five kids in the family, we're all clamoring for the phone, you know. Who's going to get it first? I got it. That's what this means. When God's word here is spoken, you should be like, I'll get it. I want it. I want to do what it says. Hearken to the door. Have that kind of attitude when it comes to the Word of God. That kind of readiness. Is that the way you came to church this morning? Think, what does God have for me today from His Word? I want to get it. I want to live it out. It's important to me. I encourage you to approach the Word of God with that kind of intention as you attend the services, as you're getting up Sunday mornings, like, God, what do you have for me today? As you're driving to church or riding in the backseat, whatever. God, I'm meeting with you, and I want that. Whatever it is you have for me, open my eyes. Be thou my vision. There's nothing else but you. Now, not just on Sunday mornings. How about life groups, Bible studies? How about your own personal time in the Word? As you go to the Scriptures as you ought each day or each time you go to the Word, say, my ears are attentive to what you have so that I will listen, not only listen, but heed it, put it into practice. That's the first feature that we see here in this passage. Here's a second feature, and that is your retention. What do I mean by that? Your retention, verse 21, that's to keep His Word close. Verse 21. To keep His Word close. Let them, His words, all right, verse 21, let His words not escape from your sight. The thought here is don't let God's Word, don't let the Bible get away from you. I'm not talking about the hardback book. I'm talking about the concepts. God's talking about the truths that lie therein. Don't let it get away from you. Keep His words in front of your eyes. The encouragement here is to be very familiar with the Word of God. And of course, this would involve Scripture memory. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's the memorization of Scripture. But beyond that, it's understanding biblical principles and truths so as to govern your life. You see? So that it makes a difference in your life. Keeping biblical principle ever before you to govern your thinking, to govern your behavior. God's Word is a filter through which you evaluate that which you think, say, and do. You're always thinking, okay, am I doing this to the glory of God? Am I doing this proper? Am I doing this the way that would please the Lord, the way He would want me to do that? That God's Word helps you do that. Let them not escape from your sight, His words. Keep them, His words, within your heart, the verse says in verse 21. Keep them literally means to build a hedge of thorns around your life so that the Word of God doesn't get away from you. We often use that phrase, you know, build a hedge of thorns to protect me. Here it's talking about building a hedge of thorns to keep the Word from getting away from you. Don't let anything deter you from knowing God's Word and putting it into practice. Don't allow anything to take it from you. This is a reiteration, maybe a reinforcement of the first part of the verse. And that's the way Hebrew poetry is a lot. It makes a statement, as you see in verse 21 there, let them not escape from your sight, and then keep them within your heart. It's a reinforcement of that first thought. That's the way Hebrew poetry is. It makes you think about it in maybe a deeper way. And so that's what we have. Sometimes it's a contrast. Sometimes it's the wisdom of God, again, then it says, but the foolish one does this. All right, so that's how you'll see that as you read through the book of Proverbs and as we study this. But in this case, the statement reiterates, it reinforces the point. And in essence, he's saying, don't allow the influence of God's Word upon your life to be minimized in any way. Don't let anything minimize the impact of God's Word in your life. I enjoy flying. I'm not a pilot, but I enjoy commercial airlines. The thought of driving to Alaska would just be burdensome to me. It's a 10-day drive. Put me on a plane, I'll be there in 6 hours. You know, sounds good to me. I like commercial flying, all right? But I also like flying small aircraft too. I've flown with some private pilots and so on. But just about every pilot I've come in contact with or observed has a checklist, and it seems like they pull it out of their pocket. You know, they have it with them, and they pull a checklist, and they're doing all kinds of things with their checklist, and they're double checking, and private pilots, they get out and they walk around the plane. They have their little checklist to make sure that the plane is fit to fly, but that they are fit to fly as well. That's what you have here. Keeping that checklist close to you is the way you ought to look at the Word of God. It is ever before you. It is your check. I like reading, studying God's Word early in the day. It's when I'm freshest. It's like, okay, I'm going to start my day. You know, I'm going through my checklist for the day as I look at the Word of God. It's dear to me. I don't want to mess up. Could you imagine a pilot if he didn't do that and there was a mistake? He messed up. He didn't go through the checklist. And so it is with the Word of God. And that's how you should view God's Word in relationship to life, to keep it ever before you, to govern your thinking, your speech, your attitudes, your actions, what you look at, how you relate to others, what you believe, no matter what it is. The point of this verse is that God's Word should play an active, moment-by-moment role in your life. Is that the way you view God's Word? It's like, okay, I'm starting this day. I need God's Word close to me. I need this. God, help me. Are you willing to allow God's Word to do that for you? Here's another feature. And that's God's provision. In verse 22, we see His provision, for they are life to those who find them. God's provision is that His words are life-giving. His words are life-giving. He has provided this for you. His words are life. They are literally alive. The Bible is alive. I don't have to make the Word of God relevant to life. It already is relevant. You see it right here. It's alive. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's Word is living and powerful, living and active. God's Word is alive. The fact that it's alive indicates that it is active. It accomplishes a work, that of, Hebrews 4:12 goes on, to the piercing of your soul, to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. You're struggling with life, you want some answers, you know what? God's Word gets right down to the heart of the issue in your life. You need that. I need that. That's what God's Word does. And He gives us that indication here through this passage this morning. His words are life to those who find them. I was talking with someone after the early service, and they were saying, you know, she had gone to a Bible study, and she was taught, you know, you never mark in any book, let alone the Bible. And so, but she went to a Bible study, and these other ladies were like, wow, you know, look what God has shown me. And they had highlights, and they had, you know, arrows and notes and everything. And she says, oh, man, I want that. And she was reading Psalm 119, and it was talking about, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. It's like, oh my. She says, this is wonderful. That's my verse. And so she took, for the first time, highlighted, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from the law. And so she said, later on, she discovered something out of the Word, and she said, oh my, it's happening. It's happening. This is wonderful. That's what God wants to do for you. His words are, it's life-giving. It's active. It's at work. There was a pastor that went to visit one of his parishioners in the hospital. not doing well, but pastor was concerned that he might go home to be with the Lord soon. And so as he was talking, it was evident that old Joe was getting ready to go. And Joe hands the pastor a slip of paper, and the pastor's like, oh my. Didn't read it, put it in his coat pocket, and prayed. And Joe gasped his last breath and went into the Lord's hands. So the pastor at the funeral, he had forgotten about it, but he wore the same jacket to the funeral. And the pastor was talking about how great Joe was and how wonderful he was. And he said, in fact, Joe, he slipped me a note just before he passed on to be with the Lord. And I happen to have it here. I haven't read it yet, but I opened it up and it says, Pastor, please, you're stepping on my oxygen tube. Get off! God's word is life. You know, we all need oxygen, right? But there are some who, it's very obvious, they have the oxygen tubes running through the house, or they carry oxygen, and they're dependent upon that extra oxygen. And if they don't get it, they're gasping for breath. And I don't know if you've ever seen that. It can be heart-wrenching. And it's sad. And sometimes there can be that moment of panic and like, I can't breathe. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had the wind knock it out of you? You know, it's like, oh my, I can't, you panic. Think of God's word like oxygen. Without it, you can't live. That's what he's saying. His words are life to those who find them. That's what this is talking about. If you want to live life with meaning and to its fullest, give heed to the word of God. That's God's provision for you. God's word convicts, it encourages, it strengthens, it motivates, it teaches, it guides, it stirs up faith. God's word should be that upon which you become dependent. That's the point. It's life. And without it, you're spiritually gasping. If you're gasping this morning in life, just struggling with life, come to the Word of God. God's Word is sufficient to help you with whatever it is you're dealing. God's Word is sound. It provides soundness. It provides wholeness to your life. Again, this is a reiteration. His word is life to those who find them. Look at the next phrase. And healing to all their flesh. Again, this reiteration, this reinforcement of the previous statement. God's word is health, healing, medicine to your flesh. It's a reference that is, it's not merely for your spiritual refreshment or enjoyment. It is for even your physical. He's talking here about the wholeness of the person. God's word is essential to living your life. It deals mostly with the spiritual, but it benefits the whole person. When you put God's word into practice, there are benefits physically. Now, you say, how is that? Well, there are many of you, and there are people even in our congregation right now who are struggling with physical ailments or concerns or injuries. And yet through that, they're crying out to God, oh God, help me. Oh God, I need you. And God, if it's possible, take this away from me. But even if you don't, I will trust in you. That's helpful, even to the physical well-being of an individual. God, I know that as I go through this, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's intellectual, whatever, God, I know that you are with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. See, so it doesn't just help the spiritual, that's a spiritual truth that can help the individual. It might not take away the pain, but it helps you endure the pain because you know God is there. You see? So it helps you not only spiritually, but also physically, emotionally. You know, there are people going through that kind of pain that they're just an emotional wreck. But the individual who's going through that kind of pain, who's trusting the Lord, can have, I'm not saying you don't struggle with the emotions, but it helps to govern the emotions. It helps you intellectually, relationally, volitionally, as well as spiritually. They are healing. His words are healing to the flesh. God's word touches the whole, your whole being. That's what this passage is saying. Are you willing to allow the wisdom of God to minister to every aspect, every area of your life? Do you realize it can do that? God's word can do that for you. God, through His word, does that. These are the things that God wants to say to you to help you with whatever it is you're going through. Isn't that exciting? To know that God cared enough to do that for you and me? Are you reading? Are you studying? Are you listening to God's word with that kind of conviction? That, yes, I this is life to me. Spiritually, I need this. And not just spiritually, but in all areas of my life, I need this. Here's a final feature of heeding the wisdom of God. And that's your responsibility, verse 23. Your responsibility. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart. It is your source of life. Without your heart, you cease to live. Right? So, keep your heart. The idea here, the thought, is to guard your heart, just as a conscientious soldier would guard that which he has been, which has been entrusted to him. Guarding your heart is what you need to do. That means guarding the inner you, the real you, your emotions, your thinking, your will. And in this context, you guard your heart by the proper use of God's word. He's talking about the word of God. It is your life. So guard your heart with the word of God. By use of the Word of God, the proper use of the Word of God. His Word provides the ways and means of guarding your heart. I'm going to review this in a moment, but we've learned that here this morning. For from it, from your heart, flow the springs of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance, because out of it, your heart, out of your heart flow the springs of life. The heart is the inner you of you. It is what makes you, you. Without your heart, you have no life. So guard your heart. The real you, the inner you. And the Word of God is key to doing that. It's by living according to the Word of God that you're able to guard your heart. It's the means by which your heart can stay true to the Lord. I want to be faithful. I want to be true. Take heed to the Word of God. Do what He, listen to what He has for you and put it into practice. And with the encouragement of this passage and the take-home thought here this morning, cherish the wisdom of God's life-transforming Word. The question might be, how do you do that? How does that become evident in your life? Well, let's just review that. God's appeal is to be attentive to His Word. How does this become real? Be attentive. Get your spiritual ears going there. Your retention is keeping His Word close to you. Don't let it get away from you. It's important. Keep memorize the truths. Keep the principles close to you to govern your life, every aspect of life. Then you have God's provision is that His words are life-giving. It's your life. And your responsibility is to keep your heart. By giving attention to His Word, it provides the ways and means to do this. Again, very practical, and yet, I'd like to all, we're just going to close by encouraging you to evaluate your approach to the Word of God in several ways. First one, there are some of you here who one, as I'm talking about the Word of God here, you're like, yes, amen. I've known that. I've experienced it. It's life to me. I can't do without it. Man, I look forward every morning or every evening, whenever. I just look forward to my time with God through His Word. And you just bask in that. So we have some folks that are like that. And it's cool when you see that. But nobody's arrived. There's always something we can learn, some one way in which we can grow. But there are some who, man, they wouldn't miss their study time in the Word of God day every single day. But it's kind of like, okay, I got that done, so now I'm going on to the rest of my day. There may be some who, yes, you do it every day, but I'm here to tell you that it is not the means, just reading the Bible is not the means to spirituality. It's what you do with what you... You can read the paper like that, right? Just, okay, I read the paper today and it makes no difference. Maybe just a bunch of knowledge. But maybe you need to say, I need to change my thinking to what we have in this passage right here, that it is my life. And so even there, someone may be doing this faithfully every single day, but you just need to realize, there is so much more in the Word of God than what I've been discovering, and open my eyes to help me see that. So there are some like that. But here's the next one that I see. I probably hear this more than any other thing when dealing with Christians. Oh yeah, Pastor, I know I need to be in the Bible more. I just don't read the Bible as often as I should. I know I should, but I don't. And maybe one or two times a week you got it down. There are weeks where you come to church and maybe you're hearing this message and you're saying, oh yeah, I know. Man, I did not crack the Bible open any this last week. And you're just sitting here going, man, I didn't. I hear that. It's probably the biggest concern of Christians today. Any time. I know I need to be getting the Bible. What I would encourage you to do, and I'm encouraging everybody, whoever it is, wherever you are on this spectrum, to say, okay, I'm going to take some steps of growth. And I'm not saying that, okay, I've got to do it every day, again, just to check off the box. I'm talking about going at the Word, whatever time you spend in the Word, with the same attitude that the person who does it faithfully every day. This is my life. That's the way you're going to look at it. But maybe you do it three or four times a week and you just... My encouragement is to say, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to really make this a priority in my life. And then one more. Actually, two. There may be someone you say, I've never even thought about it. You know, It wasn't until I was a freshman in high school that I even understood what a daily quiet time was. I knew we talked about daily devotions, but I just did not understand it. And it's made a difference in my life. I'm not saying I've done it every day since. But I'm just saying that maybe you're here and say, man, I haven't done it. I would just encourage you to say, okay, I'm going to start. I think it's unrealistic to say, I'm going to do it absolutely every day. Now, that's a goal. But say, okay, let's encourage you to say three times this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to spend some time in the Word of God with the attitude of, God, what do you have for me? Oh, it's my life. And then the one more would be the person who's never trusted Christ. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, to come to Him in salvation. Evaluate your life in light of these truths and then be willing to make changes in relationship to God and His Word to find out how He wants you to live in light of what He says and as He shares His wisdom with you. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Your Word is life. It's life-giving. It's active. And so I pray, Father, that would be the spirit in which we come to hear from You, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's our life group, that we have that attitude toward what You have for us, and that we would see that value and that we would allow your word to govern our lives in every way. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I just want to encourage you. If there's anyone who's never trusted Christ, you're not certain of that salvation, we want to help you. God wants that to be the beginning of wisdom for you. Wherever you are on the spectrum, fill out a connection card, and we'll be praying for you. If there's anything personal, private, check for pastors only. Say, I'm going to, and put down where you are on the spectrum, but the commitment that you make in order to grow, to allow God's word, God through His word, to have that kind of impact on your life. We're going to take an offering. And as we think of the offering, you just think of God's word as, think of the offering as a way of investing in the ongoing work of proclaiming His word to our people and even beyond into the community and into the world. You're making an investment. Give faithfully as unto the Lord. God, help us now in all of these things to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.